Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Influencers have been warned that they will face action from the consumer watchdog if they're found to be in breach of commercial content laws. And I'm sure a lot of you, if you're using your social media regularly, you'll have noticed last week about 27 social media influencers were taken to task by the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission for alleged breaches. I'm wondering, do you think our laws and guidelines are strong enough, or should they be stricter? I just did a little poll on my own Instagram account today, at Andrea Gilligan One. About 74% of people seem to think that we do need stricter laws around advertising for social media influencers today. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Dr. Irene McCormack is a senior lecturer in media at the SETU in Carlow. She's the course director, though, of the Bachelor of Arts Content Creation and Social Media Programme. Irene, you might just explain, first of all, how strict are our laws here?
I think our laws are not that strict. The emphasis really is on guidance or guidelines. And it's very interesting, your poll, where people, a very large majority of people would like something stricter, and maybe they'd like what the French have. So, you know, you can be fined up to €300,000 in Wow. France and have 2 years in jail, up to 7 years in jail for major infractions of their new influencer law that came into play in 2023. And even in France, you're not allowed as an influencer to, for example, give sports performance advice or predictions. So that would put a lot of people at nose out of joint. So here, I think maybe it's appropriate for our market, but it is a global market. We have these guidelines. We see that 26 or 7 influencers were reminded of their obligations. I don't really know what that means. And then we have this, you know, we have this further, if you want to call it, action against the likes of Brian O'Driscoll. And, you know, in that case, we see you could get a fine, but nobody has been fined. And the fine would be a maximum of €5,000. So what we're seeing maybe perhaps is more just some reputational damage when we think of influencers living and dying by their authenticity. And I see the CC, you know, PC website, it does mention honesty on several occasions. So, you know, the public want their people to be honest about their obligation is to be honest about if something is commercial. And I think that's where all this is coming from. So we're seeing some reputational damage rather than fines or punitive.
Okay. So at the moment then in Ireland, I suppose to summarise it, we don't really have laws here. We've guidelines.
Guidelines and maybe it's a pretty please. you know, you might get a fine, but we haven't seen any fines for influencers yet that I can see of. But now reputational damage is the worst. It's just that if they were to be fined, it would be more publicised and it would be further damage, let's say.
Okay.
So you know, I think publicity is bad. Publicity is bad in this case.
You're in the business of, if you want to say, I suppose, training the next generation of social media influencers. Is that right? It's the social media influencing course, isn't that? That's the programme you lecture on.
I would say that's a bit of a stretch because the media decided to call it that. It's content creation. So again, content creation is, and what influencers are doing, it is digital marketing. It just happens to be digital marketing for the person, personal branding, more of an emphasis on that. And now we are seeing such an explosion. You know, like the content economy is supposedly worth $250 billion worldwide. Yeah, that is huge. But so what we're seeing now is there's emerging economies and emerging industries out of that. Agents. So there are people who could work with influencers, who could work as a kind of go-between marketeers. And influencers are now, in America, we're seeing where it's very advanced, they're also going in full-time into large corporations. So Mattel, for example, would have influencers on site.
This is the creator of Barbie.
Yeah, so that's a big difference because we think of influencers as remote, sitting at home, posting. And another thing I would say, Andrea, if we think about it this way, is that there's a really good podcast by Leodon Fitzsimons, is it? If anybody's a chance and you're interested, it's called How to Become an Influencer. And she explains that if you have a tie-up with a brand, it's supposed to look very ad hoc. It's supposed to look like, well, ad hoc's the wrong word. It's supposed to look like you just posted, you liked something, that was it. But actually, it takes weeks and weeks to decide that post. Yeah. And it is a marketing.
Okay, it explains how it works. Stay with me, Irene, for a few moments, if you don't mind. I just want to bring in quickly Mandy Marr. Mandy's the owner. A lot of you know Mandy from this program as a stylist, but separately, she's the owner of The Platform. So they're an agency. They actually represent social media influencers and content creators. You're a sort of an influencer agent, Mandy. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's correct, Andrea. So we'd have roughly about 30 people on our books where they would be either influencers or the content creator side of the business.
Yeah. Do you think we need to move from having guidelines to rules? Is that something you think would be welcomed?
The guidelines have to be heard, and there's no question on that. As Irene rightly says, guidelines are vital for any influencer or anybody putting content up on their pages in the first place. Because what people need to also remember is that these people have thousands of followers, and the followers buy into what they're putting on their pages, and therefore being authentic and being honest is vital for any influencer going forward. And therefore, things like, for example, with the guidelines, like whether it's an ad, whether it's a paid advertising, whether it's a gifted advertising, that needs to be mentioned on every single post. And it's vital because their followers need to know what, you know, is it paid? Is it just random what the story is with the content that they're posting?
But I have to be honest, like I'm not an influencer, right? But, you know, I would from on social media and never off it. And I see it all the time. And it can be, I would have thought, tricky. But maybe that's the influencer's job to know, is it a hashtag collab? Is it an invite? Is it a PR drop? Is it, you know what, like, is it you as the influencer? Is it your job to know that? Or is it Joe Blog Sun Cream will say, want you, Mandy, to promote something for them. Is it up to them to remind you? What's the...
The onus is also equally on the brand as well, Andrea. Because if a brand is gifting something, it should be... And if it actually now with the new laws that are in with the ASAI guidelines, is that if a product is being gifted to anybody, actually it is up to the brand to contact that person, number one, that they want to accept the product. Because before one time, Nilly Willy, products would just be sent to you left, right and centre. I mean, like there was products arriving all the time to my own house, to the team that we have. Whereas now, because of the guidelines, because everything tax-wise has to be shown every year in your accounts, whether it's gifted or whether it's paid. So therefore, it needs to be, the brand needs to contact that person to see do they want to receive that gift.
Mm. So hashtag gifted means, we'll say...
That they've literally been given the product for free.
Yeah.
But then the onus then is falling back then on the influencer. They don't actually have to post it. So they're under absolutely no obligation to put anything belonging to that brand at all on their page. But out of goodwill, most people will do it and will tag back the brand to say they've received the product. But equally as well, it is to stay authentic and to be honest, they are supposed to put down that hashtag gifted on it as well.
And
so
then
that
if it's,
their followers then know they've got a gifted.
Yeah. And then sometimes you might have somebody who gets a gift, but they're also paid then, we'll say, to promote that separately.
Absolutely. Then some people could end up being paid for a collaboration. Again, like that, sticking with the guidelines, it needs to be on people's page that they've got paid for that particular post.
Yeah,
I could go on about this forever, but like even with content, honesty is a huge part of influencing. And even with our own team, for example, say somebody was asked to promote a makeup product, they will not go on all of a sudden being given a brief and told what to promote for that brand unless they've tried the product beforehand. Because they're not going to sit down and film content or film everyone telling them that this is the most amazing mascara on the market if they've honestly never tried it. They need to be authentic themselves and say, do you know what? I have actually used it. It's brilliant. You need to start using this. And that also is part of the trust that you have between you as a person, as an influencer, to the people that are actually following your page in the first place.
Or it's pure rubbish. I wouldn't waste your money. You know,
pardon?
It's pure rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't waste your money on it.
For sure, Andrea. And to be fair, there are people out there that will say, listen, I've tried this and it's not as good. Or they do a lot of dupes where they could find something that could be a designer and woefully expensive, but that you could find the dupe of it somewhere else. And they're not being paid for that. That's just content that they put in their pages.
Sinead O'Meara is with us too. Sinead's the host of the Stretch Marks podcast. You are a content creator as well, aren't you, Sinead, aside from being a podcaster?
Yeah, so that's the whole grey area in all of this. There are some that feel that they are influencers. Like, that's almost a profession in itself at this point. And it's kind of a full-time gig for many, or it could just be a side hustle as well. But then there's like the content creation part. So if I'm ever talking about my podcast is sponsored, obviously I'm going to put up hashtag ad on that, because there is a monetary exchange. I suppose where it gets a little even more grey is where you're talking about anything that you might have a personal relationship with. So if I'm talking about my business, I have a business called The Brand Story. If I'm talking about that on my personal pages, I still will always have to tag that, you know, this is my work. Or if I'm resharing a campaign that I've helped a client to create, flagging that I have a financial investment in this being seen and this being successful. So it's not necessarily a brand that's paying me to share an ad in the typical influencer form, but yet I do still have a relationship with it doing well. And I think that's where some of the, you know, influencers that are also brand owners. Mm.
Well, you do. You see that now a lot. I've noticed that actually in the last couple of weeks, you know, hashtag own brand.
Yeah. So there's so many labels. You know, you've got your ad, you've got your gifted, but you've also got, you know, are you a brand ambassador? Is this sponsored? Is this an affiliate? Is this a PR invite or an own brand? And even, you know, I was reading through the, because the ASAI actually have a very helpful guide, to be fair to them.
This is the Advertising Standards Authority.
Yeah, the ASAI.ie. And they have a very helpful map as well, if anybody is confused, where you ask little questions. They say, you know, have you received any benefits from the brand? Yes or no. Move on to this one. And it brings you down to how you should label it.
Mm.
But they are saying that you should also label things if a family or a friend has any, you know, influence in the brand. So if I'm sharing something that a sibling of mine, for instance, might own, a business of theirs, technically I'm sharing an advert for them, even though there's been no monetary exchange.
But I wonder, is it everybody that has to do that, or is it people who are classified as influencers?
But what is the classification of an influencer? Like, at what point do you become, I think everybody in their own right, yeah, is an influencer. If you have only 100 followers, but they are
sure, you're influencing
your trusted friends who rely on you recommending a product, then you are influencing them. And yeah, I think that's where some of this grey area comes in, and where I think it could be helpful if we're if we're really nailing down what is an ad. Like, an ad in my mind is a brand has reached out, they want to pay me to promote and advertise their product. That's different to me sharing, gosh, a friend of mine has set up this business and I really want to champion them.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Irene, that there is still a grey area? Irene's still there, is she? Can you hear me okay, Irene? You can?
Yeah, I can.
Hi, apologies, Irene. Yeah. Go on ahead.
I think my understanding is that you have to basically use hashtag ad. And I think that simplifies it, because really, I thought it was a very interesting point made there. And it is interesting to see that, say, your cousin has a business and you love your cousin and you like what they're doing, and they're still benefiting from your celebrity. And I think it just makes it to say hashtag ads, that's something that we all understand. If you muddy the waters with lots of classifications, and I think that's what's going to make it different. In France, it's quite, I keep banging on about France because they really are at the cutting edge.
But they sound like they're doing it right, though. Like, I think the problem here, like, if I was an influencer, right, I would love the CCPC or the ASAI, the Standards Authority, to come out and say, do you know what, now we're going to set out a load of rules. There's going to be a load of rules around this. There's people making tons of money. This is big business. A lot of people doing this. Here's rules rather than guidelines. In the same way as, you know, that we as broadcasters have to adhere to the BAI guidelines and regulations.
Yeah, I suppose for our culture, let's say, in our society, they're trying to see what's going to work as it goes on. The French are much more kind of belligerent about these things. And I suppose they have millions more people and, you know, they have 85 million people there, and it's probably more sophisticated. I don't know that what we're doing is totally wrong just yet, but I see where maybe the French are, where it's going, they're much tougher. If you have a video, the word advertisement is on that video for the duration of that video. If you have a picture, the word advertisement is on that picture for ever and ever. It sits there. So there isn't kind of waiting to look down, scroll down, see hashtag ad. And also they see it as the responsibility of three elements or three parties.
So the influencer, the advertiser, and also the agent.
Mm.
So it's much more sophisticated there. And I suppose you could say we're behind the curve, but I think I think that the CCPC do use this hashtag ad as a broad statement. People kind of understand it, and it's not too muddy.
Okay.
So I think that is good. But you know, we'll have to see the infractions. You know, and you've a very big market in France. A lot of scamming going on, and that's what they want to protect people from. They want to protect people from the promotion of cosmetic surgery, nicotine, alcohol, bogus financial services. That's happening on a grand scale coming out of France, of course. And we're just the size of a city here, really, in France. But maybe that's just, it's interesting to look at somewhere bigger to see where this all might be going.
How they're doing it. Okay. Roisin is with us too, Irene. Roisin, would you like to see stricter rules, or do you think the guidelines will suffice?
I think, yeah, definitely stricter rules would help. I agree with everyone's points there. I think the focus being drawn to the consumers, I think this will only benefit consumers by having something like this in place. I think I agree in terms of France, we could use a number of countries as a blueprint to figure out what would suit where we are currently standing at. But even in terms of myself, my own algorithm, and as a marketing professional, I can see, but like I'm targeted with ads that aren't marked as ads, and I know that myself, but not everybody does. And like, I think the importance of this is that we don't have full adherence to it. If this would help increase that adherence, we only benefit consumers and younger people too. And it increases trust in those influencers as well. People are able to make informed decisions, but also importantly, media literacy. Like, media literacy is so important these days. And it's getting harder and harder to be able to have that and to stay afloat of everything. So having this is, again, just another clear line for a consumer. And not just, we're not just talking about people who are in their 20s and 30s and above. We have people online from, you know, 10 and 13. Mm-hmm. So them to be able to decipher, I'm seeing this recommendation as a personal recommendation, but I know that there are intentions behind this, and they are, it's an ad. This is either gifted, someone financially benefits from it, either having given it as a gift or being paid to do so. And that just helps us to create this, hopefully, like a next generation of people that feel comfortable about the purchases they're making and about what they're seeing online, and being able to actually critically analyse all of the information they're seeing online as well.
Is there a way, this texter asking this question, is there a way you can block anything that's a hashtag ad on social media platforms?
You can. So in some of your social apps, you'll be able to go into settings, and you can go into, it's either activity or into your personal settings. And there are ways that you can hide certain hashtags, certain terms and things like that, so that you don't see them. So it's worth giving it a Google and having a look. But there are, I would absolutely encourage anyone who's listening to go online and have a look with regards to whatever platform they're using. But have a look and see different ways that they can actually build their own, you know, explore page or something that suits them and works for them, and also protects them from instances where they don't want to see certain content, and they do want to have kind of, you know, regulated things and stuff like that. So I absolutely encourage that.
Texter here says there certainly should be regulations with any of the influencers in relation to health, wellness or exercise, because most of the behaviours that are placed on Instagram or other social media outlets, I often think could be, extremely unsustainable. Their diets or the level of exercise they do each day, not sustainable for the regular person. But also from a financial perspective, most people can't afford to eat the way they do every single day. It would cost a fortune more to eat healthy or buy some of the level of supplements, and it makes the regular Joe feel a bit inadequate. So yes, there needs to be greater transparency, says this texter. 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. That's Sinead Muir, who's the host of the Stretch Marks podcast, Roisin, Dr. Irene McCormack from SETU in Carlow, and Mandy Marr, who's the owner of the Platform Agency.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.